What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Chat Room, a podcast dedicated with having interviews with upcoming stars and influencers of our generation. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram at thechatroom.tcr and on Twitter at thechatroom_tcr. Also, don't forget to become one of our valued Patreon members, which allows you to unlock exclusive content while also supporting this podcast. Enjoy the episode.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the chat room for another episode. Today, your host is me, Martina, and I'm joined by the beautiful, the wonderful, the one, the only, Courage Kusena. Hi, Kari. Hey, how are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm all right. So today, our topic is based on Women's Month, right? But we're doing something a little different because we know that almost all the time awareness is being raised about the issues that women go through and the things that women have been through in the past and basically the things that need improvement in terms of women being seen in spaces, in various spaces. But today I want us to actually celebrate women because we are celebrating Women's Month, right? So we're going to talk a lot about where women have come from and the things we've accomplished and even look at our accomplishments individually as women. So I guess the first thing we can talk about is what's the one thing that you feel that women didn't get to do in the past, which they're getting to do now, which you're like, okay, wow, thank God we're able to do that now.
I think it's choice. It's because I use choice to cover a plethora of things. So it's from simple things like women not being able to own bank accounts about 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah.
In some places still, but
nowadays, I was actually so mad the other day. I was listening to something and they were like, a lot of women didn't marry the people that they wanted to, like, they didn't marry the people that they married because they wanted to marry them. They married them because that was the only way they could have access to funding and be able to have a bank account. And I was like, what?
Yeah, that's how it used to work. You marry so that either your husband has a bank account or you're with someone who can open a bank account. So it was, you know, a lot of things then took away that freedom of choice. So I'm very happy that women can choose, you know, can choose even simple things like contraceptives. That wasn't there a couple of years ago, you know, a couple of decades ago.
Yeah.
Simple things like choosing to go to school. I mean, of course, we're not at 100%, but we are at a really, really different place from where we were.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you start to see that the first people who maybe went to school, mother's generation, and that's only 30 years ago. You know, so I'm so happy we have choice, at least more choice than we did before. And I understand that the choices are limited, but I think it's something to really celebrate that we are one step forward, a couple steps forward than we were 30, 40 years ago. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I think for me, like, the one I would definitely agree with you on there is obviously everything. I'm like, yes. But, like, the one that's, like, striking to me is the education one. Because it's so ridiculous how, you know, you have so many girls that, like, even in Afghanistan, the Taliban would kill girls for going to school. And I'm like, there has to be, you know, people only persecute something when they know there's some form of gain that's going to come from this. So them actually wanting to stop girls from going to school means they knew that girls would do something with what they were getting at school, you know? So it's a thing of, it's really great to see women, you know, in spaces where they can now be like, I want to have a PhD. I want to be Dr. Ningrikini, you know, like I can choose to do that. I can choose not to. That's super, super beautiful.
For sure. I mean, shout out to people like Malala, who she was shot in the head.
Absolutely.
Over a decade ago. And now she's making, you know, those waves for, you know, for women. Shout out to so many different people who like came through. And I came through and broke those barriers. And I always tell people, as a person in my life who is in a field that is not covered by people who look like me, or women who look like me, or sometimes I walk into meeting rooms and there's just this white men in terms of like cisgender. Let me just fix, like make sure people understand that, like cisgendered white men who are probably 10, 20 years older than my mother. You come to realize that it's important that women are in these spaces now. It's important that if you feel like you're breaking barriers, keep going, because absolutely, there's a woman who's going to be through you like 20, 30 years from now. Someone's going to be able to enter that room because you were in it.
You were in it.
So
exactly,
we should be laying. Exactly. So I'm so big on laying the seeds for the trees, you know, for the shade that's going to cover other people. You may never sit in that shade, but it's very important that we put those seeds, because we are basking in other people's shade right now. So yeah, it's of utmost importance that we keep going and are. Yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned Malala as well. And I think she's one of those very inspirational women who have, like, we can see the things she has done and she keeps going. And, you know, there are things that women can do now and an awareness that people have of, like, the seriousness of it. Because I feel like some people, you hear, like, their girls not being able to go to school and you're thinking, it's not really, like, it's not really a thing. And you hear someone got shot in the head, you're like, okay, wait, this thing is actually real.
Exactly.
So it's really great that, you know, that awareness now where people actually open their eyes and say, okay, no, this is actually real. But, like, which other women would you say have really inspired you and grown you to be the person you are? Like, it can be people in your family, it can be, you know, public figures, celebrities, anyone.
Yeah, so it would be crazy for me to not say my mother.
Absolutely. I'd be like, hey bruh, need to mention my mom over there.
Thank you. I am like her. I look like
little
her
sister, so, like, you know, exactly, it's like a forced thing where I'm here like, okay, if you don't say mom, I'm gonna tell her.
Exactly. Yeah, I am like her. I look like her. I every single day I become like her. I have character-wise, I'm literally a carbon copy of my mother, and it's the scariest and coolest thing on earth.
Yeah.
So my mom is definitely one of those people who's had, I mean, she's been all, like, my mom is super tough and she's a very tough individual. If you think I'm tough, I'm tough, but my mother is tougher. But I'm so grateful for it, because she's never ever, like, let me slide. Like,
yeah,
even when I wanted to give up, when I had what I thought were substantial reasons to, like, give up, she was like, no,
we're not quitting,
you got it. Exactly. So without her, without her support, without her hard hand directing me, I don't think I would have ever been where I am, or, like, doing what I do nowadays, or having the voice that I have. So I am, you know, like, grateful for it. But other women, I mean, of course, and I have sisters who raised me when, you know, my mother.
That's me.
Oh, there they are. There they are. There are Martina.
How can I not be mentioned? I mean,
exactly. There's no way I would go forth without Martina. From the very first day we're together, I'm very grateful for you, sister.
Thank you.
And my, you know, and my mom chose a career too, so she was a career woman and a mother, and she was pursuing degrees with children, and she was getting those degrees. So she never let anything stop her, even when everyone had something to say about her parenting style. She kept doing what she knew how to do best, and she, like, it turned out pretty well. So yeah. But you know me, I'm an art history major, so I am big on women who led Africa in pre-colonial societies and during colonial societies.
Yeah.
There's a lot of queens, and I will not mention all of them, but there's so many queens, including the Queen of Zimbabwe herself, who, and the many queens of Zimbabwe, so it's not just one queen, but there's so many queens and so many women in the history of our matrilineal kingdoms, because Africa had matrilineal and egalitarian societies, which means basically we had societies that treated women as equals to men and also treated them as people who contributed to the society equally as men did.
The one interesting thing, right, that I like really, really loved, especially in Shona culture, was the thing of padare, right? Like that thing around the fire, like men would be there and speak, but, like, a lot of the times it was, we'll reassemble tomorrow to discuss, like, our final decision. And the reason that was done was because they would then go back home and be like, okay, so this is what's happening. This is what's on the ground to their wife. And be like, so what do you think? and actually involve exactly. people, you know? I think that's really, really great.
I know. If you follow the history of the kingdoms of Ghana, the Asante kingdoms, there's different kingdoms. Everyone knows the Asante, but you have one specific queen, Yaa is the name, but, you know, point is, one specific queen who was known for saving what they call the Golden Stool. So the Golden Stool was basically the heart of the kingdom, and it was believed to have ascended from the gods. And basically, when the British came, they basically came very pompous and said, we want to see that Golden Stool, give it to us. Now, you cannot tip over the Golden Stool. If you know the history of stools and what stools mean in Ghanaian cultures, you know it's very important that it doesn't get into the wrong people's hands. And one of the queens is known for being the one who actually took the stool, and she hid it and no one knew where she put it. So basically, she saved the heart of Ghana. And she only took it up way, way later. And people are like, oh my gosh, you know, she said, so there's so many people, like, people hear about the Amazon armies or whatever, the Amazons. That was actually a Dahomian army, which was a modern day Benin, an army of women, just women. It was this very powerful army of women that was known to only let women off during either nursing or pregnancy. They led the kingdom and protected the kingdom and served just as men do. So most people don't think about ideas of patriarchy because they were not existent in most African, pre-colonial African, you know, society. So for all the queens, all the women who fought, all the women who kept us, all of them, the ones who are not recognized, the ones who are not, you know, written in our history books, they have grounded me so much this past year. That is actually insane, because I know for a fact that women have always been powerful, even though in the past, you know, 300 to 400 years, what's been written about African women is completely wrong. So, you know, it's such a powerful thing to know that where we come from, we've always been powerful and important to society, and not just important to society, but even our men saw our importance. And the fact that kingdoms were matrilineal, I mean, kingdoms dependent on the queen, on the queen's bloodline, not on the king's bloodline. The king's bloodline was rather seen as tainting the queen's bloodline. So instead, it was...
Imagine, you know, they are disturbing us.
Imagine that. When the king died, for some kingdoms, it was actually the brother of the queen who stepped up because he had the pure blood. He was the person with the pure blood of the queen. And if he wasn't available, then his son would take over. Because that's the closest to the pure blood of the queen. Because it was the blood of the queen that carried the bloodline, that carried the kingdom.
We are the ones.
This is, you know, those exactly. It's one of those things where from a very long time ago, women in general, especially African, and I say African because I strongly identify with my Africanness. I strongly identify with being Zimbabwean, even though I'm not completely of Zimbabwean descent. I strongly identify with my people. And I just want people, because I think there's a lot of empowering that is done that is separated from us as Zimbabwean people. A lot of empowering is separated from who we are. And we watch like feminist movements, we watch women empowerment things, and we act as if they're not for us too. But they are, you know, we deserve those very same things. And we are, you know, we should be doing those very same things. And we also people who deserve rights, who deserve, you know, to be treated equal. And so I'm so big on people just knowing the power of a woman, and don't even let anyone tell you any less than that.
Absolutely. And like, I think the one greatest thing that I've learned from multiple women, my grandmothers, my mom, my sisters, you know, even just watching women on TV and stuff, is just having a voice. Like whenever you enter a room, you are automatically disadvantaged if your voice is not heard. Because when decisions are now made, your opinion and your thoughts are not considered because, well, you didn't say anything, you know? So it's an issue of, I really love the way women these days have also like really increased in their boldness to be like, no, now that is not what we're doing here. Like, that's not what we finna do. Like, no, we're doing this, that, you know? And women to have a voice to say, like, you know, seeing just women in, like, places that are known to be male-dominated, you know? Like, maybe a woman in construction work, and she's actually the boss
you,
there.
That's me. That's me wearing
that's
my
why I mentioned it, you know?
Walking. Like, the queen Who do you think it was, sweetie? This is my
The queen has entered.
Thank you. You.
So, like, it's really great to see women in these spaces where, you know, like engineering and construction, architecture, where, you know, like people just have this thought of women. Yeah, sure, we know women who are lawyers, we know women who are doctors, but it's these other, you know, more secluded spaces now where you can see women really dominating as well. And it's really, really amazing.
It's probably, it's such a beautiful thing just to be a woman, because by nature, you're designed to be able to focus on a plethora of things at the same time, and not just focus on them, but focus on them well. One thing I really like is, and it's something that is not really emphasized, is it's not just women are multitaskers. Women are very,
very, very good ones. Like,
very excellent multitaskers, and not just just thinking, no, or doing many things. The way, same way everyone's mother was a mother, but a lot of mothers also had careers. Mm-hmm. A lot of mothers were also playing the roles of being auntie and being daughter.
Yeah.
A lot of mothers were playing daughter-in-law positions. And then on top of that, at work, they're doing manual things, inventing new things. Doing, like, there's a lot of things that women touch on in life. And you're still going to come home and having to be a wife on top of that. Like, there's so many things that hats that women wear that they do so, so well that it's just not appreciated enough when people think, at least when I think of it, it's, I mean, props to our, especially our mother's generation. I think no one talks about the fact that they were at that point where, like, being Zimbabwean, some of our mothers were at that point where they lived through from being a colony to not being a colony.
Right?
They moved through that transition, which was a very difficult transition for anyone. And no one really talked about the implications of that. But even more importantly, no one talked about what that meant for our mothers and how that impacted them. And, like, so there's one of those things where, like, when you look at it, I feel like there are so many things that became things of our mothers, things they did that they instilled in us, that when you look at your grandma, maybe wasn't the same.
Yeah.
My grandma was basically taught to read and write by my mom. As she was going to school, she was also coming back home as a young, innocent child, teaching her mom what she was learning. Because she didn't understand why her mom didn't know what she was learning. It was like, well, that's weird. But that was the life. You know what I mean? And I always say, I wish people could, like, I would love to do a documentary of mothers and grandmothers, like our mothers and our grandmothers, because you would see the difference of when education accessible, when it wasn't.
Yeah.
And yet they were all successful in raising successful individuals continuously. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
We're very successful without education. They raised 7, 8, 9, some of them 13 children very well.
A whole basketball team, a soccer team.
A whole basketball team with a water boy involved. And they did it well.
And, like, most of the time, they did it by themselves. Like, of course, with the support of their family and stuff, but without that male figure, you know?
Exactly. And they did it so, so well. And they raised our mothers, who then did an even better job.
Yeah.
And instilled so many things in us. And now we're also at a tipping point where we are learning new things and women are having new choices that maybe our mothers didn't have, which means I am so excited to see the generation of children and generation of women and daughters that are coming up, because they too are a very different generation. Every generation differs. And I think that's the beauty of it. But women in general, I mean, not just women in, you know, in family settings, but in workspaces, women who are the first to do things, women who fight for civil rights and women's rights, the Angela Davises of the world, those type of women, you know, like, it's sometimes it's so beautiful to just look at it. Like, I can't imagine being the one who has to stand in front of a court and fight myself, like, against the whole of white supremacist America. That could not be me. Like, I'm brave, but
well, skip me, guys. It's fine. This one can pass me. Hey,
thank you. Next.
Thank you. Next.
Honestly, yeah, it is, man, beautiful, like, to watch.
Women have really come far, and I think we ourselves, being young women, really appreciate, especially, like, looking at things like that other people were not able to get an education, and now it's not even a choice of, can I get an education? But it's a choice of, do I want to go to Oxford? Do I want to go to Cambridge? Or I want to go to Harvard? Like, do I want to do engineering? Or I want to do law? Like, you can do whatever you want. And I think that's one of the things that we are also teaching, like, the girls that are at the same level as us, as well as the ones that are younger, that there is no space that's called not a woman's space. You know how a lot of people say, yo, this is not a woman's place. A woman's place is in the kitchen. Like, that has changed. Like, we are past that. If you are still there, you need to catch up, because we've left. The train has left. We do what we want now. Like,
exactly.
You're really not going to tell us.
Where I look at, let's say, authors. I recently read Homegoing by Ya Jassy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys have never read that book, please do. It talks of 17th century, 18th century, 19th century, and 20th century Ghana. It's a single bloodline. And see, I feel like most of the characters are actually women in that book, but it's a single bloodline that just maps out different individuals in this bloodline and basically how they start from being like an individual, a woman in the Ghanaian household, in the Ghanaian kingdom. And then goes on to like a colonial, basically, marriage that happens. And how someone starts from Ghana and then 300 years later, a descendant is in Alabama and has no idea. You know what I mean? It's such a beautiful book. But it explores the way women thought. It explores even women's sexuality, which is something that is covered in terms of back then. People's act as if women, African women, did not have its own sense of sexuality. And it explores women during slave trade and how, and women's experiences during slavery and during all these things. It explores a plethora of experiences of women that I don't think anyone else really explores in their books.
Yeah.
You have authors like Tshidang Erembo, you have Chimamanda.
Chimamanda. I knew you Ozi. You can't talk about such without talking about Chimamanda. Like, it just doesn't happen.
I know. There is one lady, and I forget her name because she doesn't use her name. She uses a different name for writing, but she's actually a Zimbabwean author. Mm-hmm. And I mean to read her books because I hear they're great.
Yeah.
But all these women, these African women, especially from different places who write, who do so many things. Like, I am big on, there's this particular professor from UCT. She's everything for me because she explores colonial photography. Mm-hmm. And she basically interjects herself into the picture to change the narrative and sort of like highlight what exactly is wrong with the photograph by putting herself as part of the photograph.
Yeah.
It's such a powerful, powerful way of thinking of things. But even when you go look at like the faculty for like UCT or faculty for these different, when you start to see women's names and female professors and blah, blah, it changes. It changes when I'm in a room with a female professor. I feel
it's really, you know, you feel like you're in the right place and you have a chance. It's like,
I know.
In my head, I know I have a chance, but like now I really know I have a chance, you know? Like I sit there in some of my lectures, understand. Like, and there's a professor who, and she's, you know, she's a woman, obviously. And she then, like, you know, there's also the thing of she's heading the department. Like, it's these small things where I'm like, okay, so, like, I have a shot. Like, it's not just a slim chance, but, like, I have a chance.
I have a shot, exactly. And I even, like to thank sometimes the men in my family, my dad especially, for never, ever putting me in a box as a woman.
Yeah.
I remember being kid and crying because my father would let me play with cement. Did not understand why I wasn't allowed to play with cement.
Mm.
But if you play with cement, especially with young children's hands or soft hands, when it dries up and you want to take it off, it cracks and it'll crack with your skin. So you get these splits and you'll be bleeding and it'll be painful and sore. But I didn't know that when I was young. For me, I just wanted to play with cement. Not with dolls, not with Barbies, not cooking in the house. Because I followed my pops everywhere. My pops once bought this like Land Rover. I'm a fan of Land Rovers, people who don't know, because they're the ones.
Just in case you want to get her one, this is the time.
Thank you.
Don't be shy.
The one I want is, the one I want is just over $300,000. But I
that's
think
not a lot. I mean,
I don't doubt it. Reach out to me on all my handles. Let me know. I'll tell you the specifications. I know you can. Especially you who's listening. I know you can.
Yes.
But like, he put on this old Land Rover and took it apart, sent the engine to the you know, to the mechanic, but started reading the body. And I was sitting around reading this body with him, this body of his Rover, because he never relegated me to being a woman, so go to play with the other women. No.
Yeah.
My dad would be teaching me exactly what he's doing, showing me what to do, saying, this is this type of screwdriver. We use it for screws like this. This mm-hmm. thing, this thing, it goes here. And that I'm going into engineering. Of course, that came from my pops.
Yeah.
My mom is also an engineer. You feel?
Yeah. So it's not like you're becoming an engineer because your dad sort of brought you up like that, but it's like my mom also was. So like, yeah, you know.
So one of those things where I got a lot of my hands-on love for things. I like working with wood. I like, you know, designing things. I got that from my pops in terms of he's hands-on.
Yeah.
The man can see and deconstruct something in his head and draw it on the paper. But the theory part, the academic part, straight from my mom, like nowhere else. It was straight from my mom. And that is such a beautiful thing for me. And I was like, yeah. You know, just watching it now. I mean, I recently went through my mom's LinkedIn page and I realized, I don't know, this is Korea. I've been underestimating this woman.
And I looked at my mom's one and I was like, what is going on here?
Y'all, all of you, whether you're
like,
male or female,
what's going on?
Or you identify with something else, please go through your mother's LinkedIn account if they have them, or ask, or sit down and ask them, like, just ask them. Just
what do you do?
You,
like, what do you really do? And you'll just be there, like,
amazing.
Like,
women are breathtaking. Breathtaking.
It's and so it's, like, I'm like, you didn't tell me that. You know, you start feeling like this person has been doing drug deals on the side. You know, it's that feeling you would get where it's like, I didn't know you did all that. Like, why didn't you tell me? Why did I not know this?
I know. It is just. It's glorious to watch and glorious to see. And I think even like in any settings, I don't know if you've had like any mentors who are women who just chose you, not for any particular reason, but they just chose to indulge who you and watch you grow, like watched you grow. I have like this one lady who I'll be watching a panel on YouTube or something. That's what I like to watch, guys. Documentaries, panels, as long as I'm learning, I like to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And I get mad whilst I'm watching a panel and I go to her and I'm like, you know what? She doesn't even stop me. She knows I'm coming with something that made me mad. And I say, this. And then she helps me elaborate on thoughts and helps me elaborate on ideas. And she like knows me in a personal way, but she's almost like a mentor who allows me to, and she like pushes me in different areas very gently. Like if I say I wanted to do something, she says, have you tried to contact this person about it? And I'm like, well, I didn't think of that. And she said, well, go ahead, courage.
Yeah.
Like she, and like every now and then she'd just come to me and she'd be laughing and she's like, oh, I really appreciate you. And she just goes. This woman always had an impact on my life because she didn't need to do that.
But
she wasn't asked to, but she did.
So what would you say is your definition of a strong woman? Because a lot of the times, like the one thing I really, really hate is when a woman is now called strong because, you know, she's been through so much and, you know, she's really seen mm-hmm. life and she's been dragged life. And she's
struggled.
Been, oh, wow. Oh, my word. So that's a strong woman. So does that mean to say that if I haven't gone through struggle, like extreme struggle, like a person going through gender-based violence and all this other stuff, then I'm not a strong woman? Like, what defines a strong woman to you?
Firstly, I would say I validate anyone who's been through the extremes.
Definitely.
I've gone through GBV, sexual assault, anything. Human trafficking, women are usually, you know, victims.
Yeah.
We validate that. And you are strong.
You are strong for
but
that.
But at the
definitely.
Same time, strong has a spectrum. Some women are raised in very amazing families that they're protected from those things. But I always say, and this is the physician in me. No, is that what you call it? A physicist? Why we? I'll never be a doctor.
Hey, anyway. Physician.
Hey, I realized I was like with the
educated queens.
Anyways, so the physicist in me likes to use strength is the same thing as pressure. Pressure equals to force area, right?
Yeah.
So which means no matter what happens, it's a ratio. And even if someone's force and area are bigger than someone else's, the pressures be the same.
Yeah.
So it's a relative term, it's a ratio. Mm-hmm. So my shoulders may be a certain size, which is the area, and then this massive, massive load, which gives me a massive, massive pressure, right? Mm-hmm. But someone else can have really, really small shoulders and a relatively small load, but the pressure will be the same, it's the ratio.
Yeah.
So strength is the same thing. Strength is like pressure. It's the same thing where you cannot measure size by size. It's a ratio.
Wow.
So anyone who's been through
that's such an amazing way to look at it, actually. And I feel like that analogy just needs to be thrown everywhere, really, for the whole world.
Honestly, like, it's some things like, okay, you're in an affluent family. That's great. But now you're going to have to deal with the rumors that come with affluence. I have a friend of mine who's from a very affluent family.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to mention like which family because they're going to be like, ah, we know who it is. Anyway, but she went through so much, even though she was affluent. Just because she was affluent, rumors, people being mean to her, saying things to her, saying things about her family, assumptions that were made about family. As much as that wasn't like courage, who was going through maybe difficulties in having my family being separated and my family being in different parts of the world at the same time. Or, you know, there's so many different things. People who lost parents during school, whatever. It doesn't mean anyone is less. What she was going through and was fighting those battles, the pressure was the same.
Yeah, it was relevant.
So the loads
regardless.
May look different. Yeah, the load and the area may look different, but it's a ratio. So I always tell people that a strong woman is any woman who can overcome her everyday challenges. Her everyday challenges.
Not anyone else's.
What you think an everyday challenge is.
Yeah.
Exactly. Not what you think an everyday challenge is or what you consider a challenge, what her everyday challenge is. So if her everyday challenge is picking between a Gucci bag and a Fendi one, then let her be strong for that. Right?
Emma, what?
Let her be strong for that.
That's the kind of strength I want. Oh my gosh, Range Rover or Mercedes.
Amen. Amen. And honestly, it's okay to want that type of strength because sometimes I want that type of strength. Sometimes I want to say, do I want to go to Bali or I want to go to the islands?
Like, you know, that's it. That is literally it. Like, I shouldn't have to feel like, okay, I've never been through certain things, so then I'm not a strong woman. For me, actually, including what you said, on top of that, for me, a strong woman is just a person who's not scared to take up space. You know, I always say to people, and I say to myself most of the days, that I will never not apply for a job, apply for a scholarship, or want to enter any space and stop myself because I'm a woman. Never. Like, that's the one reason that we will never use. Maybe I'll stop because I'm like, but am I really good enough? Not even in the context of male, female, but I'm like, okay, academically, do I match up to this role? Whatever, whatever. Experience-wise, do I match up to this role? Do I have the character that's required for this role? Those are the kind of questions I'm asking myself. I'm not asking myself, can I make it because I'm a woman and I might not make it? No, I've seen women take up spaces in places where people are like, where women stand and like, yo, yeah, this one is leading us. And I remember I was watching something the other day, and of course you can say it's a show and whatever, but I always believe that these shows get their inspiration from somewhere, right? So it was my usual detective shows, right? FBI director is a woman.
The best.
FBI director is a woman, and she's sitting in there with someone who's not even in any executive position in the FBI, but he's a man. And then someone from another agency, the director of another agency, walks in and is like, Mr. Director, sir, nice to meet you. Like, he just walked in the room and he assumed that, you know, the director is the man in the room. Because, you know, the plaque on the door will say director and then the surname. It won't necessarily say Mr., Mrs. It's just director, whoever. So he walks into the office. Yes. You know, so then he walks into the office and he shakes the guy's hand and is like, yeah, so, you know, with this case, the situation we have at hand, we really need to handle it quickly, whatever. And then she turns around and she's like, yeah, it is. My team is actually on it right now and we're dealing and da da da. And he's like, sorry, who are you? And she's like, oh, sorry, Isabel Davis, director of the FBI. And in that moment, it's like, oh, sorry. But it's like, she took that position to be like, oh, listen, yes, it's me. And you're not going to walk into my office and be doing that.
And disrespect and me.
And it's these things that a lot of people think are innocent mistakes, but where are you getting that assumption from? For you to even have the audacity to make that assumption, there's a certain way of thinking that's already happening in your mind. And to be honest, you need to correct it, because you can't be walking into an office and be completely blank as to who the director is. And you're like, ah, So since I don't know who the director is, I'll just automatically assume it's the guy. Like, what?
Exactly. And don't be caught being that person. Please don't be caught being. I always tell people, none of you fell out of the sky. No one fell out of the sky. Women, men alike, or anyone doesn't identify non-binary, none of you have fallen out of the sky. You fell out of somebody's womb. And that somebody is highly likely a woman.
Yeah.
We obviously have different situations now where people, obviously, you can assume the gender you want to take, and we can respect that. But most people just, you know, were born two mothers or two women and made those women mothers. So even when you don't want to respect a woman for any reason, does a woman deserve your respect just because you know that you were created in the woman?
You're
created, you know, nowhere else. Like, I always tell people that it's just human decency. It's human decency. Like, honestly, like, I know God has a special place for women in his heart.
Definitely.
He has a special place.
Definitely.
For his baby-making machines. I know he has a special place for his machines.
Well, the ones whose pictures are on the fridge. God has a fridge in heaven. The pictures are there. Like, wow.
The pictures are there. It's us. Those are the ones.
And I always honestly, like, you know, just because they're certain, it's literally what I always believe. Like, just because, you know, women are good for these things, and there's certain things that we can do that men can't do. Like, we have wombs and men naturally do not. You know, that makes us unique, but that doesn't make us better. In the same way, a man may have a certain trait that women do not have. That makes you unique, but that doesn't make you better. At the end of the day, what we're trying to say is each and every person is unique and great in their own respect. And my shine doesn't take away from yours, you know? And also the other analogy I love to use, which also I use when I'm speaking about women supporting women, is when you light a candle, right? Like, electricity is gone and, you know, Zessa has done the things. And you're lighting a candle. Then you want to light up the other room and you bring a candle. You use that other candle that's already lit to light up this one, right? But it's not like this one stops shining because it's given this one a flame as well. Like, they both shine. And it's the same thing with women. You don't have to feel like by helping another woman, you're now going to be inferior or no one's going to look at you anymore. People will actually look at you more to be like, wow, what a woman, to actually have that power and capacity to educate more people like herself. Because if you're such a great woman, you should want to be creating more youth.
I know. And it's not a people, the world teaches us to protect our shine. Like, you need to shine. You need to be the only one shining. Sweetie,
no. The
night sky does not have one star.
Yeah.
The night sky has many. And with the plethora of stars, we see the most beautiful sky that I believe anything in the universe sees.
Exactly.
So don't refuse to shine just because there's not a star next to you. And don't dim the star next to you, because we need all of the stars. We need the sky to come together.
Yeah, there's space for everyone. Literally.
Okay. And they will all, and I always tell people, there will never be enough of, like, too many good women, too many, there'll never be too much. It's not,
no.
Women can never get too whatever. Like, you can just support each other. I mean, as women, it's amazing for each other. Like, this sounds crazy, but women's sport. When you're seeing the Olympics, watch women's sport. Are you watching athletics? Watch women's races, okay? Go watch the WNBA. Follow WNBA pages. You know what? Look for women initiatives within your communities and follow those. Speak to women in your spaces. As women, we should even be doing even more, because men can easily sit back and be like, well, women, and I hear this a lot. They say women don't support women. Do you watch women's sport? Do you watch women's this? So why should I? Don't give them a reason to say, why should I? Take away that reason. Okay, now what do you have to say? Because that's how we've, like, overcome everything. When you take away reasons that people close us off by, then they look for the next reason, which they'll probably find. But the issue is, at some point, they're going to hit a wall and realize that we can't keep going on in circles. You need to step up. Don't give anyone a reason to take away from women. If you can do anything in your power as a woman and as an ally to women and not a performative ally, yeah, a co-conspirator, someone who actually does the hard work on the ground, then do so. Because it's beautiful to see women uplifted. And we're not dependent variables. We're independent variables where both of us can rise, both men and women and anything in between in terms of non-binary, everyone can rise. Any identity can rise. Yeah. No one needs to step on one. And I think that will always be my advice to people. Don't wait until you have a daughter to learn how to be active and how to be a co-conspirator ally. Don't wait until your sister goes through something traumatic because you don't even want that.
Yeah.
Like people, I always tell people,
you don't want that,
like,
smoke.
Just support. You don't want any of that. You're not ready for any. You're ready for the conversations. In fact. So support women. Ask women how best you can support them. I promise we'll help you through the way and we'll hold you because we know even when you make honest mistakes, I know our generation is good at cancel culture, but come to me. I will help you. I've had people ask me the most interesting questions ever and I appreciate them so much because sometimes then I even get to like put them in my past or talk about or wait for because honest questions are healthy questions and growth questions, opportunities for growth.
Yeah.
So as we celebrate women, I think we should allow ourselves to even open ourselves up to more growth, more support of women.
Yeah.
And, you know, take
we're doing good, but we could do better. You can always do better.
Yeah.
You know?
And I know we can. I don't doubt anyone at all. And I know we can because people have done it before us and we can even do it for people who are coming after us. And I think we're all capable, you know.
Yeah. Oh, wow. There's so much to say about women in general and all the stuff. But unfortunately, time is well spent. But it's been so great having you here again. As usual,
likewise.
You educate us so much. I mean, there's so much stuff that you said, which I didn't even know, where I'm now even intrigued to go and read more. And I think at the end of the day, that's the good thing about any conversation, where you can leave it and be like, okay, I went away from this conversation with something. So thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you to everyone who listened to this episode. And until next time on the chat room, bye.